Thanks for joining me, Val Ackerman, Commissioner of the Big East Conference and past president of USA Basketball, which oversees the U.S. men's and women's Olympic basketball program. Val, let's start off with the background of your journey. Now, I've been blessed to have first met you during my recruiting visit at UVA, and since then as a teammate and dear friend. And I've always been impressed with not only your leadership, but your willingness to help young people and to promote the power of the sport industry. So tell us where it all started, and if you ever saw yourself as a leader in sports here in the United States and globally.
Well, first, Deb, great to be with you. An honor to be with you. So thank you very much for having me on the show. You're right. You and I go back a long ways, my friend. And I would say that's probably where it all started. I mean, we were the listeners, student athletes at the University of Virginia, where we were members of the women's basketball team in the early days of the program. Incredible experience to play a sport you love, to go to a school of that caliber, and to walk away with an incredible education.
Yes.
When I left Virginia, my dream was to go to law school. I took a year off and I played basketball in France that year. There was no WNBA that was available to us at that time, as you remember. So I did a stint in Europe and then came back to the U.S., went on to law school. And it was really a few years after I got out of law school that my journey in sports began. I was hired as a staff lawyer for the NBA 30 years ago, 1988 it was. Mm-hmm. So I got my foot in the door in a great organization. David Stern at that time was commissioner in his fourth year. He went on to have a 30-year career there. So I was with him at the beginning, more or less, of his reign. And it was there that I had the chance to work on some incredible projects, including the 92 Dream Team, which played in Barcelona. Some other efforts that the NBA at that time was making internationally. And then, of course, the launch of the WNBA in 1997 when I served as the first president. So I was lucky to be in an organization that was very much on the move. To work under someone like David, who was a really an icon in the sports business, and you know, as you noted, had a chance to serve as the chair of USA Basketball during a golden age for them, and now you know, just an honor to be working and reunited with so many friends from college sports, some of whom are still in the business from my days as a student athlete. So it's been a really exciting journey so far. And the best part, of course, has been meeting people like you.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, I know you're a Jersey girl and you turned me on to Springsteen. But Born to run. Did you have any particular teachers or mentors that influenced your career? I know you note David Stern often in terms of your career path. Anyone else?
David for sure. The longtime deputy commissioner of the NBA, Russ Granick, I was very close with, and he opened so many doors for me, having me sit in on meetings and conference calls, and he and David together got me on boards as an NBA representative in the early 90s, so I had a chance to learn so much under them. You know, interestingly, I had a chance to work with Dave Gavitt, who founded the Big East in 1979. Russ and I had a chance to work with him on the first and second, and I think third Dream Teams, because Dave was the president of USA Basketball at that time. He was very kind to me. He was very charismatic, a great leader in his own right, very influential in college sports. And I know now quite well his son, Dan Gavitt, who is in charge of basketball for the NCAA. And so it's just kind of full circle there, having a chance to lead the conference that Dave founded. You know, it's interesting on the women's side there, you know, there weren't as many people to look up to. There were so few women in senior positions when I was coming up in the NBA. So I really can't identify any mentors there, but I will say, and this will probably bring a smile to your lips, I always admired Pat Summitt.
Yes.
She was an inspiration to me. Of course, you know, Tennessee was at its zenith in the 90s, and a program that we looked up to as we were sort of plotting out how to make the WNBA happen. Pat was actually a source of counsel for me at that time. And then Robin Roberts is another woman that I've always greatly admired. Interestingly, Robin and Pat were the play-by-play and color team for WNBA games in the early years of the league.
Wow.
They were incredible together. And Robin has always been a fierce advocate for women's sports and just a great, great person. So I would have to put, at least in terms of, you know, female inspiration, the two of those at the top of my list.
So looking back on your academic career, any courses you would recommend or wish you had taken, knowing what you know now?
That's a great question. I mean, you know, interestingly, and I don't know if you remember this from our days together as schoolmates, I took an interdisciplinary major at Virginia.
Yes.
It was called Political and Social Thought. It still exists, I know, at UVA. The beauty of that major, actually, was that I didn't really have to choose a major. I didn't have to focus on, you know, one area. I could take a mix of classes from history and political philosophy and religion and English and combine them. And so that's what I did. And so it really, you know, I really kind of walked away with regrets. I think every course that was interesting to me, I was able to take, and it counted towards the major.
Mm.
So, so honestly, you know, I kind of sated my interest largely with the classes that I took. But the thing, you know, the thing that I do regret is, and partly was, it was because of the time that we spent on sports.
Yes.
There, you know, I would have been the kind of kid that would have done more extracurriculars at UVA, you know, had I had more time, and we didn't devote so much to practice and you know, being a two-semester sport. I mean, you know, there were probably clubs I would have joined or things I would have signed up for had I had more time. I did try to do a few things and, you know, and had some volunteer work, you know, with a young girl in the community who I was a mentor to. But, you know, that's unfortunately the sacrifices you make when you're a scholarship athlete. It's just, you know, the priority is going to class and then, you know, doing your sport. And so, I sometimes wonder if I had not played sports in college, you know, what other things might have, you know, filled my time. But for the most part, I don't regret any of that. And you know, I'm sure you can attest, it was an experience like no other. And I really wouldn't have traded my time at Virginia in the way I spent it probably for anything in the world.
Well, you're spot on there, and I can definitely echo that. Let's take a break here, and we'll be right back to discuss more with Valerie Ackerman, Commissioner of the Big East Conference. We're back with Val Ackerman, who is celebrating her second national championship by way of Villanova's very dominant victory this year. Val, tell us more about the Big East and how you decided to take the position as the commissioner.
Well, it's a great conference with a long history. The league was founded in 1979 by Dave Gavitt, a well-respected leader in college athletics. It was founded as a basketball conference. The schools that came together at that time did not sponsor football. They were mostly in the Northeast, in big cities, and they needed a better way to get into the NCAA tournament. They were playing as independents, and they concluded that if they were sort of banded together as a league, they would have a better shot at the postseason. So Dave put this together. The league went through a lot of change, including lots of comings and goings in the 90s and the 2000s, and then culminating in 2012, 2013, with more or less a wholesale breakup of the league. Seven of the schools who did not play football decided to form their own conference and joined three others who were coming from other conferences, Butler, Creighton, and Xavier.
Yes.
To form the new Big East in 2013 as a reconfigured league with a basketball focus, more or less the conference going back to its roots. That's when I came on board as commissioner. After those decisions had been made, after the presidents of those schools had cut a long-term deal with Fox Sports, negotiated with the old conference to keep the Big East name, and then importantly had negotiated to keep the men's basketball tournament at Madison Square Garden. That's kind of what I inherited, basically a binder of legal agreements in 2013, and it was left to me and my staff, who I later hired, to bring the new Big East to life. So, you know, for me, when I was approached in the spring of 2013, I saw this as, one, a challenge, two, as a way to build on the legacy of someone I knew, Dave Gavitt, who had founded the league, and three, you know, an opportunity for me to continue my career with a focus on basketball, because there really was the business plan of the new Big East to go back to its basketball roots and to try to stay nationally competitive and relevant in that sport. And the good news is, you know, 5 years later, we've been able to accomplish that.
Now, we've had our discussions about college women's basketball over the years, and I was very happy for the compelling an exciting women's Final Four this year, and to have a woman head coach win it all against three male coaches in Muffet McGraw at Notre Dame. Any thoughts regarding the future growth of women's basketball?
Well, you know, I think it's in a great position to keep growing. It's obviously had a great past 20, 30, 40 years. Title IX did so much for women's sports, and women's basketball was one of the earliest beneficiaries of that law, as you and I know from our days at UVA in the late 70s, early 80s. I'm very proud to have been part of the launch of the WNBA in the mid-90s. That league is now 22 years, I think, this year.
Yes.
And going strong. The U.S. national team in women's basketball has won 6 consecutive gold medals.
Incredible.
Which no other sport can boast in terms of an accomplishment. So, and then, you know, girls are playing and continuing to play in very, very high numbers. So it's a sport that really at every level has a very solid foundation, history, and I think, you know, growth plan. As you noted, the women's Final Four this year had 3 incredible games. I mean, you know, close finishes, overtimes. Mm-hmm. You know, crazy shots, and crazy meaning incredibly good shots to win games. Notre Dame, hats off to Coach McGraw, who's now a Basketball Hall of Famer, for winning this with so many injuries, especially over the year.
That's right.
That was incredible. So, you know, it's a critically important sport, I think, in the college space. And hopefully, you know, the growth will continue in the years to come.
Yes, definitely agree with your comments there about women's basketball. And as you know, I'm a big advocate for analytics, so I'm going to do my part to try to make a difference in that space as well. I just think we definitely need more creativity and innovation right now in women's basketball. But let's shift gears a little bit. Any advice you give to young people interested in being a college sport administrator?
I would encourage them. It's a great field. The opportunity to work for big universities and small universities alike is compelling. The business of college sports has really transformed itself over the last 10 or 20 years. So there are areas of college sports now that weren't as built out when you and I were student athletes long ago in Virginia. There are now opportunities in, you know, in revenue generation, ticket selling, marketing, promotions, communications, digital, especially to your earlier point about the growth of technology, is attracting more and more people into the field. So, I think it's all about networking, being aggressive about seeking opportunities, being prepared to volunteer. Just to get some experience, not always waiting for the paid job to come through, because it's a competitive field, sometimes hard to get your foot in the door. Mm-hmm. But if you can volunteer, particularly if you're a student and you have an interest that you feel strongly about while you're a student, you can try to get some work with your school's athletics department. And then my second one would be just to try to, you know, keep learning. I mean, you and I have graduate degrees. I'm a real advocate of higher education, continuing the education process. I think if you have an additional degree or two, It certainly can't hurt as you're job seeking. My degree was in law. I started out as a lawyer, and that's how I got my first job in sports as a staff attorney for the NBA. And I lean on that really every day, that law background. So I think there, you know, there's something to be said as well for just specialization and continuing your education if that's possible.
Well, that's great advice. We'll be right back with Val Ackerman, Commissioner of the Big East and the first Commissioner of the WNBA. We're back with Val Ackerman, Commissioner of the Big East, and you're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman. Val, are there any sport executive leaders that people would be surprised to know that you greatly respect and admire?
You know, I don't think there are people I look up to that people would be surprised to hear that, you know, that I admired or learned from. I mean, you know, the one that I mentioned earlier that I'll say again is David Stern, who was my boss for 16 years at the NBA. Just super smart, was getting the NBA into international and technology and women, of course, through the WNBA. Well before many other companies were making that a priority, and also, you know, he was pushing on areas like community relations and the power of sports to do good, in ways that were largely ahead of his time. So I would put again David at the top of my list. Probably wouldn't surprise people to hear that, but you know I would. You know, I would also sort of say, you know, there's always athletes that you look up to. And maybe in that category, I'll mention, you know, the men's basketball players that I looked up to as a young girl. I mean, the posters in my bedroom when I was growing up in New Jersey were of men's athletes. So, you know, I was a fan of Jerry West and John Havlicek in basketball. And I remember being a fan of the Cincinnati Reds. In baseball, Pete Rose, long before, you know, he had his troubles. And, you know, I remember Bart Starr of the Green Bay Packers being a big star at that time. And that was somebody that, you know, as a young girl without female role models to look up to, sort of became kind of your, you know, your sports heroes in your childhood.
Last question. When it's all over and you're sitting in your rocking chair at the beach watching your favorite team play, if you reflect back on your career, what do you want people to remember you for?
Probably the same thing that many of us want. I mean, you want to be remembered for the kind of person you are, the way that you helped others. You know, in my case, I would say what matters to me now is I want to help young people, especially young women, who are trying to get into sports and trying to advance their careers in the sports business. You know, I get inquiries pretty often from students and young professionals looking for advice, you know, asking me about my journey, asking me questions about decisions that they have to make about their journeys. And I always take time for this. I really believe in it. I taught for a few years at a sports management program run by Columbia University. And one of the reasons I did it is because I wanted to reach the young women in the program. And part of it is because I didn't have that. I mean, my mentors were, you know, were all men. They were great to me. You know, I feel lucky to have had them, and in some cases still have them in my life. But, you know, they didn't sort of understand always the kinds of pressures I was under, particularly when I had kids, was trying to juggle work and family. I didn't really have anybody to talk to about that experience. And so, you know, I would hope that I can, I have been, you know, a source of inspiration to young women as they are forging their own careers. And, you know, I would hope that I'm remembered for what I did to help them, maybe make it a little easier for them than I had it. And then, you know, last but not least, I've so enjoyed my work in basketball and hope I can be remembered as having added something to this great sport, which I played, which I've, you know, worked at, which I, you know, I love. It's been a love fest for me in this great game. And hopefully when the final chapter gets written, you know, people will say that I helped move it forward.
Well, you definitely did. It's interesting. You were a player and you're an administrator and you've never coached. But I would say that you do coach, because each and every day when you work with organizations, with your own staff, whether it's domestic or global work, you've been a coach as you've prepared people, you've guided them, and you've been an advocate. So thank you again for this time spent today. Val Ackerman, Commissioner of the Big East. You've been listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Strohman.